Hey, what's up, guys? You're now listening to Devo with Uncle Theo. Today is day 135, and we're going to cover 1 Chronicles chapters 11 through 13. Remember last time we talked, we set up for King David, and that's actually what we're going to cover throughout the rest of the book. We're in chapter 11 now. This book has 29 chapters, and from chapter 11 through 29, it's going to basically be about the reign of David. We're going to see the bringing back of the ark. We're going to see him making preparations to build a temple. And as we move into 2 Chronicles, that's when you'll see the other kings that follow and succeed David. So let's look at verse 1. It says, "Then all Israel gathered to David at Hebron and said, 'Behold, we are your bone and your flesh. In times past, even when Saul was king, you were the one who led out and brought in Israel. And the Lord your God said to you, you shall shepherd my people Israel, and you shall be prince over my people Israel.' So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and David made a covenant with them in Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel, according to the word of the Lord through Samuel." We hadn't seen that phrase in a while, Heather. According to the word of the Lord. And so Chronicles chapter 11 is establishing that David is the right person. David is established that he's called to be what? A shepherd. And shepherds are called to mediate and guide the people along in their relationship with God. And since that's what this book is about, we see this emphasis coming out. And now that we got the right person, we got to get the right place. And that's what verses 4-9 is talking about. Jerusalem as the capital city. It says, "Then David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, and the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, were there. The inhabitants of Jebus said to David, 'You shall not enter here.' Nevertheless, David captured the stronghold of Zion, that is the city of David. Now David had said, 'Whoever strikes down a Jebusite first shall be chief and commander.' Joab, the son of Zeruiah, went up first, and he became chief. Then David dwelt in the stronghold. Therefore, it was called the city of David. He built the city all around, from the Milo even to the surrounding area, and Joab repaired the rest of the city. David became greater, and the Lord of hosts was with him." So you see, we got the right person. Now we get the right place. This is the foundational place for the temple. God is establishing Jerusalem, and God is laying down everything for his people. Now that we got the right place, we need the right people. And this is where David's mighty men are introduced in verses 10 throughout the rest of the chapter, whom David had, who gave him strong support in the kingdom, together with all Israel, to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. These constitute the list of the mighty men whom David had, and that list flows and highlights some of his mighty men, like Jashobeam, the chief of the 30. He lifted up his spear against 300, whom he killed at one time. And Eleazar in verse 12, he was one of the 3 mighty men. He was with David. He was with David at Pasdammim when the Philistines were gathered together there to battle. And there was a plot of ground full of barley, and the people fled before the Philistines. They took their stand in the midst of the plot and defended it and struck down the Philistines, and the Lord saved them by a great victory. Now, 3 of the 30 chief men went down to the rock to David into the cave of Adullam, while the army of the Philistines was camping in the valley of Rephaim. And this is the instance where David was craving something to drink. And he said, "Oh, that someone would give me something to drink." And so 3 broke into the camp of the Philistines and drew water. And David poured it out and wouldn't drink it. And he said, "Far be it from me before my God that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of these men who went to risk their lives? For at the risk of their lives, they brought it. Therefore, he would not drink it." These things the 3 mighty men did. And so that's what the rest of this chapter does. It chronicles the mighty men and the great deeds and acts of them. In verse 22, Benaiah, he killed a lion inside of a pit on a snowy day. He killed an Egyptian, a man of great stature, 5 cubits tall. And you see these highlights all throughout the rest of the book. And the book just ends in a record of naming all the names of the mighty men. And this is what I was talking about. You may move from much information to little information to just a record. And so the chapter closes out with the record of the mighty men. And this may not be meaningful to you, but you need to know where that record is. And that's the way that this could be most helpful. And we move into chapter 12. It says, "Now these are the ones who came to David at Ziklag while he was still restricted because of Saul, the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men who helped him in war. They were equipped with bows, using both the right hand and the left to sling stones and to shoot arrows from the bow. They were Saul's kinsmen from Benjamin." So Ziklag is a territory that was ruled by the Philistines. Remember, before David came into power, that was one of the greatest nuisances, the Philistines. And David just wipes them out when he comes into power. But he's made ruler over this area later at the end of Saul's reign when he's pursuing him. And so you get a recollection of these events that we covered in 2 Samuel. And now Chronicles is just highlighting those. It says in verse 8, "From the Gittites, there came over to David in the stronghold of the wilderness, mighty men of valor trained for war, who could handle shield and spear, and whose faces were like the faces of lions. And they were as swift like the gazelles on the mountains. Ezer was the first, Obadiah the second, Eliab the third, and they're named all the way to the 11th. It says, "These were the sons of Gad, the captains of the army. He who was least was equal to 100, and the greatest to 1,000. They were the ones who crossed the Jordan in the first month, when it was overflowing all its banks, and they put to flight all those in the valleys, both to the east and to the west. Then some of the sons of Benjamin and Judah came to the stronghold to David. David went out to meet them and said to them, 'If you come peacefully to me to help me, my heart shall be united with you. But if to betray me to my adversary, since there is no wrong in my hands, may the God of our fathers look on it and decide.' Then the spirit came on Amasai, who was the chief of the 30, and said, 'We are yours, O David. And with you, O son of Jesse, peace to you, and peace to him who helps you. Indeed, your God helps you.' And David received them and made them captains of the band. From Manasseh also some defected to David when he was about to go to battle with the Philistines against Saul, but they did not help him. For the lords of the Philistines, after consultation, sent him away, saying, 'At the cost of our heads, he may defect to his master Saul.' As he went to Ziklag, there defected to him from Manasseh captains of thousands who belonged to Manasseh. They helped David against the band of raiders, for they were all mighty men of valor and the captains in the army. For day by day, men came to David to help him until he was a great army like the army of God." And so you get a recollection of some things that we already covered in 1 Samuel chapter 29 and 30. So verses 23 through 37 shows David's time, his reign in Hebron. He was there for 7 years, 6 months, until he's made king. And then after he's made king, he goes to the capital city that we discussed in verse 11, Jerusalem. But he's in Hebron for 7 years until he's made king. And this is how this chapter ends, by detailing it. It says in verse 38, "All these being men of war, who could draw up a battle formation, came to Hebron with a perfect heart to make David king over all Israel, and all the rest also of Israel were of one mind to make David king. They were there with David 3 days, eating and drinking, for their kinsmen had prepared for them. Moreover, those who were near them, even as far as Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, brought food on donkeys, camels, mules, and on oxen, great quantities of flour cakes, fig cakes, and bunches of raisins, wine, oil, oxen, and sheep. There was joy indeed in Israel." And you just see, like we talked about, all of the good parts are being highlighted and shown here in Chronicles, which moves us into chapter 13. We see the ark coming back. David tries to bring the ark in, and it's mentioned here because this is a highlight of Israel, God showing his love for them. But you can't just treat God how you want. Remember, as a good luck charm, you need to know, one, that God loves you, but you also need to learn how to love God. You don't treat him like a good luck charm or a trophy. And we see the story of Uzzah, who tries to steady the ark because the oxen had nearly made it fall And remember, the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and he struck him down because he put his hand out to the ark, and he died there before God. Remember, we covered that. You shouldn't have carried the ark at that speed. It had poles on it to carry it with your hands, but David was just trying to get it back fast, and God had to teach him, look, I know you love me. I know you want me there, but you need to bring me back how I've prescribed in detail for you to handle me. And the ark is finally moved correctly, and there is worship there. And not only worship, but thanksgiving. And guess what? We'll cover the book of Psalms soon, and a psalm is written from these stories of the ark. There's going to be praise in chapter 16, and we'll see a psalm covering that material. Psalm 78, Psalm 96, Psalm 105, and 101. We'll get to some beautiful, rich theology, and we'll get to cover that tomorrow. So remember, Chronicles is showing the vertical, the good times, the highlights. And so it may seem like a review to you, but that's good. You're gaining mastery over the word of God. Let's continue to move forward together, family, and rightly divide the word of truth so that we may be saints who can stand firm in times of peace and in times of hardship. You guys take care. Catch you next time.